on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcoming you to the Orient Hour on Phoenix FM. Happy hour, we hope, after that start to the season. And it's a packed edition in which we hear from the great Peter Kitchen on being one of the first eight club legends to be inducted into the Leighton Orient Hall of Fame. And we'll ask who else should be there. Three positions still vacant. And in the studio, we say good evening to, firstly, Orient Hour regular Lee Boyce. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Steve.
All well?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good.
Good, good. And then two people who were to be heard on the microphone last Saturday. Firstly, in the Supporters Club, reading out the team news with, I must say, galvanesque precision, was Karen Harrison. Welcome, Karen.
Hello, Steve.
And have you been practising saying Tyrese on the toy?
I will do during the week.
Good. I'm sure Barry has. More on our new signing later. And news of one departure, temporarily as well, in a moment. And on the mic on the pitch at half-time on Saturday, with the latest news from the Somme Memorial Committee, was Steve Jenkins. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, good evening, Steve. Great to be here. Thanks very much.
Good. I have to say, the public address system, I'm afraid, is so fuzzy at the back of the West Stand that people were saying to me, what's he saying, what's he saying? So we will give you a chance later on to elucidate in something like a crystal clear detail. So that's good. And finally in the studio is local journalist Jacob Branson from the Archant Group. Hello, Jacob.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Very good, thank you. So that is the team for this programme. We should have got Karen to read it out, actually. A couple of headlines from earlier. As I was just saying, if you haven't seen on the website, goalkeeper Sam Sargent has joined Barnet on loan. But the important thing is that he can be recalled at 24 hours' notice if we suddenly need him back. And there was a closed-doors friendly at the stadium today in which Southampton's under-23s beat what was effectively, I think, an Orient under-23 side, if not under-21s, by 2-0. A few more details on that later if we get the time. But it is a busy programme, so we better crack on. What we'll do is get some general thoughts from everybody about this pretty positive start to the season, and then specifically the Exeter game last Saturday, including Kenny Jackett's views. We'll look at the strength of the playing squad now that the aforementioned Tyrese has joined us on loan from Norwich, another attacking player, interestingly. And look ahead to Carlisle on Saturday, and then Harrogate for the postponed game next Tuesday. And after half-time, Steve Jenkins will be talking about the latest Somme Memorial news. And in the Hall of Fame, we'll hear from Peter Kitchen about his inclusion in it and ask our panel who else should be included. So let's crack on with a quick summing up from each of you, perhaps about 4 points from two league games, plus that unfortunate penalty defeat in the League Cup to QPR, and on a new manager. How are we feeling about it all? Lee, first.
Well, it's positive, very positive start. Steve, I mean, I think it was all saying pre-season was worried about how we're going to score goals. Are we going to score enough goals? We're going to create chances, but who will score the goals? And Drinnen's scored two, and I think everyone was critical of him during pre-season. So that's a nice start for him. And, yeah, I mean, Saturday was like rolling back the years there, weren't we? Like, you know, everyone was in the right, singing from the same song sheet. Everyone was happy, and hopefully keep going from there.
Yes, it was a good day. Karen, we saw you at Salford, so you've seen every game, of course. Equally happy as Lee?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of us have probably got friends that are Ipswich fans that when we said we'd sign Drinnen, and they all rubbed their hands and like, thank goodness for that. But he seems to have found his scoring boots at Orion, doesn't he? So long may it continue.
Yes, I was one of those who was beginning to have doubts, I must say, oh, me of little faith. Steve, the other Steve, how's it been for you?
I think it comes across they actually enjoy playing their football as well. They really do look a well-balanced side and full of enthusiasm. They're playing with smiles on their faces, you can see that. But at the same time, total concentration. I watch in particular the likes of Archibald. You can see him almost frowning at times when he's watching the game from the other side of the pitch. He's making his runs, and he had a fantastic game, I thought, particularly on the second half on Saturday. And really, Harry Smith, when he came on, was so unfortunate, you know, that header that hit the bar, even though the cross itself had apparently just gone out of play, but it was a fantastic cross, and such almost a close dream start for Harry.
Yeah, we'll talk about all of those new signings in particular a little later on. And Jacob, finally, the view from the press box, not just for you personally, but perhaps any other journalists you've come across, either for local ones or from the opposition?
Yeah, I mean, from the opposition, I think Exeter, for example, they were quite blown away with how organised and how much balance was in that Orient team. The three in the forward line were all sort of fantastic. The midfield was organised, and I just think the balance of the team's really good. You know, you've got Omar Beckles, a very experienced, dominant defender that's probably bringing out the best in Dan Happy, and then the same in the midfield. You've got an experienced leader in Darren Prattley, helping Hector Kyprianou, and the whole squad's balanced. And like everyone said before, Drinnen sort of worked his absolute socks off and been rewarded with two goals already this season. So plenty of bright sparks, and it looks like with another attacker in the building, he's not giving up on plenty of attacking options as well.
Yes, that was an interesting one as well. And you've probably seen a little bit more of the manager, especially at close quarters, than we have. What sort of impression is he making with the media?
Yeah, really good. I think the biggest thing I would say is his composure. You know, every time Orient score a goal, it doesn't seem to faze him, and I think that translates into the team and the play on the pitch, and everything's sort of cool, calm and collected the whole way through. No one seems to get sort of too high or too low, the old cliche, but it seems to be really working, and Kenny seems a really nice man that seems to want to get Orient up the leagues and really progress them, and he's sort of really organised and always keen to sort of translate his message of playing the youngsters as well, which is a real delight, I think.
He's been quite vocal down on the touchline as well, hasn't he? Is he the main man out in the technical area with encouraging the players?
Yeah, he seems to be the only one really out there, whereas perhaps before you had multiple people running out to the front line, but now it's very much Kenny's sort of box, and everyone else has to sort of come up to him and then go back and sit down, and he seems to command that himself, and it's quite fascinating that he's, like I say, he's very vocal, he's always talking, but at the same time so calm, so composed, and like I said, really translates out onto the pitch, and everyone seems to be adopting that sort of mindset.
Good to hear. Well, let's listen then to the manager for a few of his thoughts to bounce off, speaking after the Exeter game to Dave Victor.
Well, Kenny, thanks for joining us and congratulations on your first victory for the O's. It was a great performance.
Yeah, and you know, delighted with a win. First off, I'd just like to thank the supporters. I got right behind the team today and made it a great atmosphere. It's great to see them back. You know, it was a terrific atmosphere here today, and just short of 5,000. Really stayed with the team all the way through, encouraged them, and you know, I'm very appreciative of that as a manager, and want that to continue. It is up to us to put the performances on, we understand that, but similarly, it's good to see a crowd get behind a team, and we certainly did that today, and very thankful for them for doing that.
And it was a display that would give them real encouragement for the future.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know, we're looking at our side, we think we have some promising players and can do quite well this year, we'll see. You know, I'm also looking at, you know, the size of my squad at the right time and the balance of it. And good to see Harry Smith coming back today, giving us options off the bench, because at times during the second half I did think we needed our substitutes as well.
The goals were contrasting. The third was outstanding, a real team goal.
Yeah, it was, and it's good to see Theo, who's you know, quite a natural player down the left-hand side for us. It's good to see Theo getting in between the posts, you know, which is very pleasing. You know, although he can pull out left and deliver, particularly when you're attacking down the other side, we do expect our forwards then to get in and get into the goal scoring areas, and we've been working on that. And he also you know, put it in with a lot of confidence. It was a, you know, very good finish.
A goal and an assist from Aaron Drinan, who just works so hard.
Yeah, he does, and you know, it's good to see Harry Smith back as well. You know, we're pleased that, you know, we have Paul Smith to come back. You know, we'll need all of the players, we'll need our subs, we'll need our squad, we'll need some depth there, realistically, throughout the next 9 or 10 months.
And a penalty save secured the clean sheet.
Yeah, it did. The two, you know, big moments for them was obviously the penalty. It's a great double save. I thought the second one was, you know, wasn't the best of penalties, and he saved it. But the follow up was a fantastic second save from Lawrence, and then they just had a free kick on 96 minutes where, you know, it seemed to find its way into my goalkeeper's hands without dealing with it. They were the two big moments. But similarly, you know, we take the clean sheet and we move on. And after giving the penalty away, it's just a great save from Lawrence, and we're pleased with that.
COVID issues means that the Harrogate game in midweek is postponed. Is that respite actually coming at a good time ahead of the trip to Carlisle on Saturday?
No, not really. I mean, the games were going to come thick and fast anyway. We'd rather the schedule be how it looks, to be honest with you. And you know, you don't want COVID to interrupt it. There's a bigger picture to the whole country and to the whole industry. So no, you know, we understand though that these things do happen, but it's not something that I'd count as a blessing. You know, I want to be able to play the fixtures and you know, make sure that, you know, we can all fulfil, you know, what is a fantastic product in this country with our pyramid system and League Two football.
Thanks, Kenny. Good luck.
Thank you.
There we are, Kenny Jackett with Dave Victor after the excellent 3-0 win over Exeter. And Lee makes some good technical points as well, doesn't he? I like the point about Archibald coming in from the left and having to get, as he said, in between the posts to meet those crosses, because you might have noticed from some of the highlights from earlier games, when Archibald himself has put in some crosses, often there hasn't been anybody there at all.
That's right. I mean, the one thing people were saying when Jackett first come in was that it's all going to be direct play. It's all going to be lump it forward, everyone chase after it. But he certainly mixed it up. And like you said, with Archibald, he's given us a massive outlet, and he's getting into that space and looking very dangerous.
Yeah. Kieran enjoying the style of football?
Yeah, definitely. It's very attacking, isn't it? And everybody likes an attacking game. You know, gets the fans cheering behind the team as well, tries to give the team a bit of impetus and whatever. But yeah, it's lovely to have the supporters back as well, so that we're there to be able to give them the impetus rather than shouting at our tellies.
Yes, how did you enjoy your day in the supporters club? I imagine that, well, jolly hot actually before the game, but the anticipation was there. Afterwards, I imagine it was pretty buoyant, wasn't it?
It was lovely actually. It was nice to see everybody, and sadly, because we haven't been open for the 18 months in the run up, we were having a few teething issues, but thankfully everybody bared with us and we were able to get there in the end. So yeah, thank you and welcome back everyone.
Great. And Steve, the O's got there in the end, although another good thing I think about Kenny is one or two other interviews he mentioned that he thought we got a little bit sloppy just after half-time when Exeter were getting back into the game a bit, and when they got a penalty at 2-0, you begin to worry a little bit more, don't you?
Well, I was certainly feeling a bit rather concerned, because I was thinking back to the QPR Cup match. We've taken a lot out of the side, you know, and at times it was a strange match in some ways, because it felt that maybe Orient had stepped down a gear, but they was able to do that against the Exeter side where nothing really went right for them. Even before the game, they had the issues with COVID, and then obviously they had the midfielder, was it, or striker that went off with an injured shoulder. What's the news on him, I wonder, because it looked quite serious. But then obviously the penalty save before that, and then we had the sending off, the red card. So it was a bad day for them, and Orient really could almost just cruise through the last 15 minutes or so. But it did seem a bit strange from that point of view, but the O's were really in total control, which was fantastic to see.
Yes, it was. Jacob, I think we gathered a good example from that interview with Dave that there probably aren't going to be any more 7 or 8 minute after-match interviews. He's quite short and sharp, isn't he, Kenny?
Yeah, very precise and to the point. I think that's probably the way he likes to be, and he has been throughout, but he gets his message across, and that's how he likes to do things, I suppose. I sort of asked him about the depth of the squad myself, and sort of keen to sort of nip that in the bud right away and sort of say that he'll only bring in the right players, and he said he don't want to bring in journeymen and wants to use the youngsters unless the right players come available, and Like you say, I don't think we'll see many long interviews, but if he gets his message across and he sort of tells the fans what they want to hear, then I'm sure that he'll go down well in that retrospect.
Have you and the other media lads been able to get to the training ground at all, or is that they're all done on Zoom and so on?
Not actually down to training ground yet. I managed to speak to Darren Prattley over the phone the other week, and obviously Kenny at his first press conference, and since at matches, but I think it's slightly different at the moment with all the protocols, but hopefully we'll be back to the training ground soon. I know sort of the QPR game was all done on Zoom as well because of the championship opponent, but it was quite nice the Exeter game going back down there and seeing Kenny face to face really, and some of the players wandering around.
Yes, of course. Lee, what do you make about the actual style of play? I mean, he did say in one of his previous interviews that he did want to build up from the back, but the impression is still that just getting the ball forward quicker, isn't it?
I think he's mixing it up. I mean, see, from the last goal, I know, like mentioned the other day, it was against 10 men and they just missed a penalty, but it was a lovely build-up. So I think it's nice that he is mixing it up. I mean, we've had it before the last couple of seasons where it's been one style and it's never really changed, but he does seem to know when to change the style. Yeah, it's going to be direct, because at the start of the season, so many new players, they need to gel, they need to fit together. And so, yeah, you are going to see it more direct. But like I said, it's nice when you can turn it around, change it around. And it's a sign for the rest of the season that he can pick and choose what formation he wants to play.
Yeah. And, of course, to play more direct, even in short bursts, you need somebody up there to hold the ball up, don't you? And one of the things about Drinnen, and perhaps even more so Harry Smith, is that they can win the ball in the air as well as hold it up.
Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, I just said earlier about Drinnen, I think he's took a load of us by surprise that he's actually done as well as he has to start with. But, yeah, he's identified these players that no one really knew nothing about, and they've come in straight away, they've settled down, and like I say, they are adding something different, they are bringing something different, and it's compliment to Kenny Jackett and his team for bringing these players forward. But yeah, it is nice to see that ball being held up front.
Yeah, and Steve, your friends and supporters you go with enjoying it all?
Oh yeah, certainly. Yeah, but say the fans are growing with the side game by game. We've got to get used to the new personnel we've got at the club. You know, we're being surprised with each game. There's things we're discovering about our Orient side that maybe wasn't there last year. And certainly the tactics, as Lee was saying, they vary throughout the game, and they're taking the opposition by surprise as well.
Yeah. What about the whole business of being back in the stadium for these two games, QPR as well?
Well, certainly, it's really good. The fans are saying there's a bit of uncertainty in some instances when it gets really crowded in the Undercroft, some of the bar areas and that. And the supporters club certainly was very busy on Saturday. But, you know, you're going by the government guidelines. Everyone's got to make their own choice and take their own responsibility to a degree as well. But certainly, you know, masks should be carried if required, and the usual protocol and PPE as required for each individual.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, the crowd given, as Kenny said, just under 5,000, which is the biggest since, March 2020, before the first lockdown, really, and a decent number from Exeter too. So you wondered if in normal circumstances it might have got above 5,000. If you remember, the average crowd before the lockdown was 5,500. So do you get the impression from a few people you know that COVID worries are keeping people away at the moment?
I'm not personally, no, but you know, I can't talk for all the crowd, but
no.
I'm sure there's a number that still haven't come back yet, either because they don't feel comfortable, lost some confidence, or even lost the contact with the Orient family. That can happen. You know, there's always a concern, even if you don't get to a game for three matches or something. But for this period of time, it's a massive gap for most fans since they were last down at in E10.
Yeah, Karen, what are people saying about actual masks in the supporters club? Of course, you always have the doors open there, which was probably just as well in the heat on Saturday. But what sort of advice are you giving in closed areas like that?
Well, the government advice is to, you know, be sensible and wear your mask where you deem appropriate, because it's a place where you're actually drinking drink. Because if you're having food and drink, you're allowed to remove your mask, and it's a drinking establishment. So the people generally will be walking around without masks.
Yeah.
But if you feel uncomfortable or you put a mask on, then that's your choice. And, you know, woe betide somebody having a go at somebody for putting a mask on, because I'll be there and I'll be straight on them.
Quite right. No, there were a few with masks on in the supporters club before the game, certainly, that we did notice. So interesting to see what the level of attendance is next week. Midweek, of course, traditionally not quite as good as Saturdays. And Bradford City on the Saturday week, I'm sure, will definitely bring more than Harrogate on Tuesday. So perhaps the Bradford game will give us a better idea of what sort of level the crowds are going to settle at. So let's look at the strength of the squad and the new players. Kenny and Martin Leonard said they'd wait until they played a few games and then assess what we might need. And they've decided very quickly, really, it was another forward. So young Tyree Zomatoyo, who we saw against Gillingham, has come on loan from Norwich, only 18 years old, apparently prefers a central striker's role, so he'll certainly have a bit of competition there, but he'll provide a bit of competition as well. It was in the Gillingham game, of course, if people aren't quite sure who he is. He was the lad who in the Gillingham game, named as only as trialist, was the one who finished off that amazing move of 20-odd passes and got on the score sheet. So if you include young Dan Nkrumah, who's been a substitute, that's really about seven forwards now for the three positions, and nine new signings altogether. Have we got the balance right? And who's impressed most out of those nine? What do people think?
Well, I thought Nkrumah played really well against West Ham. That was the friendlies I saw with West Ham and Gillingham. I thought Nkrumah, we had to go away and see who he was. And when we realised he was a scholar rather than trialist, it was like happy days, because you know, he's one of our own.
Yeah,
I thought he was excellent in that game.
He got in against Southampton again today, I think, got another almost full 90 minutes. Lee, who have you liked?
I'll go back to Drinan again. I mean, yeah. For me, like I said, he's been the surprise. But I don't know, there's so many of them. Like Dan Kemp's played well, Hector's doing well, like the old school. The new ones, Archibald, obviously, done very well. Beckles looks so solid, which you'd expect, which was nice as well. I don't know, like I said, regarding the balance, I mean, the one thing we've said for the last few years, despite the amount of players, it looks so disjointed, but it looks absolutely spot on there. Everyone, like I say, we can change formations, different formations, and you've got players to fit in different formations, which is always positive.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you think that's enough of the... they've probably done enough now and won't need any more before the end of August and the deadline?
I wouldn't be surprised if there's another loan coming sometime before the loan window closes. Possibly,
right.
Possibly like a defender, or depending on how Thompson's recovery's going, or maybe a midfielder, central midfielder.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll be panicked by it, but bringing someone in.
No, I suppose Omotoyu is the sort of loan we've seen more recently, a youngster from a club higher up the ladder, isn't he? But, of course, Archibald is interesting in that he is a good season's loan, and assuming we can keep him for the whole season, that looks a real coup, doesn't it?
I think, people said before, with Archibald, there seems to be some sort of... He's sort of seen to have some problems at clubs and all that. I mean, I don't know, reading between the lines with Lincoln. For Lincoln to loan a player out like that, there's something not right at the club. So I'd have thought personally, they're looking at him moving on at the end of the season. So if he does a great job for us, hopefully he'll sign for us.
Yes, good point.
Maybe he needs a bit of discipline, and Kenny definitely seems to me to be a lot more disciplinarian than most managers that we've seen around.
Yeah, and we haven't mentioned Mr. Darren Prattley, who I think everybody's been pretty impressed with.
Yeah, definitely. He's very consistent, isn't he, in the middle there?
He was the one I was going to mention, Steve, because Lee had mentioned most of the others I had up his sleeve as well. But Prattley has been a revelation. He leads by example, and you say he's out on his legs right towards the end of the game, stretching, you know, on the floor, trying to keep his legs going and that, like, you know, fantastic example for the rest of the team. And he leads by example, and a great, great club player already.
Jacob, what did you make of him when you had a chat with him?
Yeah, he seems like a real sort of experienced leader, and I think the thing that I was sort of most pleased about is the way that similarly to Kenny, sort of spoke about the youngsters in the squad, and some of them have been handed shirt numbers and probably not to our sort of knowledge that that would happen. I mean, one that I sort of was impressed by when I watched at Dulwich was Zach Obiriero. He's sort of a really good little talent and reminds me a bit of Josh Caroma. I'll go on record to say that. And obviously someone like Darren Prattley notices that, and big fan of Hector and Shadrach and Jaden Sweeney and sort of Dan as well. So very impressed with the way he sort of conducted himself, and obviously pleased to hear him say that Orient he thinks are a big club, but bear in mind he's been at plenty of big ones.
Yes, they've all the newcomers have spoken pretty well about Orient as a club, haven't they, which is always good to hear. We haven't mentioned the fullbacks, Tom James and Connor Wood, who I think probably Saturday more than ever showed what a good partnership they can be.
Yeah, I think they get forward really well, but they're also solid at the back, aren't they? Very impressive, both of them, and I think Tom James especially, the sort of long throws he offers and the set pieces are brilliant, and then you've got someone like Omar Beckles in there to get the first flick on. It's sort of a dream combination, really, and Connor Wood seems to just know when's right to go forward and when's not the right time, and sort of really balances that well.
So they push forward quite well, don't they? No, they know, obviously they're reading the game, but you know they push forward a lot more than the left and right backs that we've had before, and they seem to play a lot more further up the pitch.
I think so, and a long throw, you noticed it with the opposition teams in the past, a long throw in this division can be quite a weapon against the defences, can't it?
It's and, like having another player, isn't it?
Yeah, dear old Sam Ling did his best, but I think I've noticed in the pre-season friendlies as well, we've probably got about four players. Tom James, who is clearly the number one when he's in the side, Paul Smith has got a throw, even Theo Archibald, and I think Omar himself came up in a couple of the pre-season friendlies, and if, as you say, if we can get that first crucial flick on, because once you get that first flick on to a long throw across the 6-yard box, that is going to cause a lot of problems. So very happy at fullback, and in general the defence, Steve, is looking pretty settled already, even with what, three new players coming into it, I suppose.
They look very settled, and the fact that you really don't notice much about them, it means they're getting on with their job nice and quietly. We're too busy attacking the other side at the moment and taking the game to them. So, you know, if we spoke too much about the defenders, it means they're seeing a lot of the ball and a lot of the action. So let's keep the ball down the other end of the pitch. That's fantastic.
Yeah, well, Lee has spoken well about Drinnen. And, of course, the other thing about him, which I don't think Lee did mention yet, was when he moved out to the right when Harry Smith came on, I mean, he was a revelation out there with those two runs in particular down the right, wasn't he? One of which led to the third goal.
I think the brilliant part about the forwards is the fact they're all so versatile, probably barring sort of Harry Smith, who's a sort of target man. They all sort of play across the front line, which is really pleasing. And I think someone like Aaron Drinnen sort of, to me, has a bit of a good sort of Macaulay Bond vibe about him, doesn't he? He works his socks off, can play on sort of, can play in the air, but also can get the ball down and run with it, and he sort of showed us a bit of everything that he's about, and similar sort of record coming into Orient, probably one that everyone's a bit sort of, oh, is he going to get enough goals, like we said, and has done exactly that, and the same with the rest of the forwards. They seem to play across the line, which is really pleasing, so it gives us plenty of options and competition.
Yeah, and it must be a huge confidence booster as well to Drinnen, who, don't forget, knocked in the penalty very coolly, as the manager mentioned, in the QPR game as well. But Lee, the two big centre-forwards who we all knew that we'd signed, Drinnen and Harry Smith, you're unlikely to start with both of them, aren't you? Or even is Drinnen putting in a case to play in that wide right position after the little cameo the other day?
Oh, I don't think Satori is going to hold that position. I still don't think that it's fair on him playing out there.
No.
So, yeah, there is the option of Drinnen moving out there. Or Therese, the new boy, whether he can go out there. I know he's more of a left footer, but maybe he could go out there. But, yeah, I think that's probably the way you'll see it. When are we going? Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday. I think that's the way you'll probably see it, Drinnen moving out to the wide right.
Paul Smith to come back in, of course, when he's fit, who offers something else, doesn't he? Because he's that terrific sort of bundle of energy.
We've got so, like I said before, we've got so many different options now, so much different people bringing so many different things into the team, into the formation. It's such an exciting... I've always been a worrier, right, when it comes to signing a lot of players in pre-season, because I think it takes time for them to gel, and you normally get a slow start, like most teams do, like Bolton did last year. But we've just hit the ground running. It's like like I think someone said just now, every one of them players looks like they're happy to be playing for the club. And like I said, it's just exciting. It's exciting to see players like Smith, Paul Smith, and other players that can come in and add something and bring something else to the team. Exciting times, Steve. Exciting times.
Good. Well, Viggs in goal certainly confirmed his worth already as well in the second half at Salford, and with that penalty save on Saturday, probably have swapped it for one save against QPR in the shootout, but that's gone. And talking of goalkeepers, Sam Sargent has gone today, joining Jamie Turley and Joe Widdowson and Jordan Thomas at Barnet, so he won't have much problem fitting in with the back four there, because we know at least three of them. And we know about other National League moves, like Sam Ling to Dagenham, Coulson to Southend. Lee, what did you think about Sam Sargent going out on loan?
He needs the loan. I think he's been asking for a couple of years about going out on loan. He needs to be playing regular. But like I said, with that 24-hour callback, it shows that he's still number two for our club. So, yeah, but he needs it. I mean, he's 23 now. So he's coming to that stage where he needs to really start pushing for a first team. And I think Barnet would be a good team for him to probably get a lot of chances, lot of action at Barnet as well, especially with that defence in front of him. But, yeah, good move for him.
Yeah, so we'll still have Rhys Byrne from the academy available as understudy, but as you say, the important thing is there is a 24-hour recall if Vigouroux got injured and we suddenly needed Sam back. Kerrin, anyone you were particularly sorry to see go? It's interesting that of all the players who left, and we knew there was going to be a bit of a clear-out, but James Brophy is the only one who's got to move to a higher division, which might have been surprising when we thought about it earlier on. Anyone you were particularly sorry to see leave?
I was sorry to see Joe Widdowson leave because I liked him and I thought he didn't do too much wrong. He just didn't fit in, I suppose. So, but I was sorry to see Joe go, but it was nice to see him back for the QPR game, so I did get to say my goodbye in the end.
Oh, that was nice. Good. And good to see that they got a move locally as well. Just Coulson, I think we're entitled to wish him well personally at Southend, even if not the team, when the old National League gets going, which I think
we can wish him well
this Saturday.
Not the team.
Yes, we should. So anyone else been following some of the others? Danny Johnson, Connor Wilkinson, Lee Angle missed a penalty, didn't he? You've been following any of them, Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, Lee Angle might have missed a penalty, but he's got two goals and started quite well for Bradford. I think much to plenty of Orient fans' surprise, as he didn't sort of impress. But at the same time, he sort of did well in pre-season for us, but sort of was injured all the time.
That's typical Orient striker, though, isn't it? Leaves Orient and starts scoring goals.
Yeah, well, Connor Wilkinson is the one who hasn't done that. I think Walsall have had a pretty miserable time. Just checking the table, I don't think they've won, no. Well, they're in the bottom two with Oldham. Not won a game out of three. They've only scored a couple of goals and he hasn't been on the score sheet yet. I think, interestingly, he has been playing centre-forward rather than out wide on the right, as he was with us. The one report I saw from Walsall said that he saw very little of the ball, which won't please him very much. But some of the others, Danny Johnson got a last-minute goal, I think, didn't he, at Mansfield's first game with penalty. Mansfield is showing up quite well, as we expected they would. Well, we'll talk about some of the other contenders in a minute, but coming up, as we know, are Carlisle away. Jacob, I don't know if you've written any preview or done any homework yet. Any ideas about Carlisle?
Yeah, I suppose I think it's a bit of a mixed start for them, and I think the way sort of Kenny Jackett speaks, I don't think he's too fussed to Orient come up against at the moment, just worried about sort of their performance, and like we've already said, there's so many options, and even Paul Smith might be back in contention, so I'm sure the bench will be stronger for Orient and they'll just look to continue on this sort of momentum they've already sort of been building as well.
Yeah, Carlisle had two goalless draws and a 2-1 win at Swindon. And who's got a goal for them? Who signed from Newport in the summer? Tristan Abrahams, who of course came back to us in January, wasn't it? Was it Martin Ling said he'd gone away a boy and come back a man? But I think it's fair to say that he just didn't impress enough, really, did he, Lee, to get a contract again?
No, near. The formation didn't suit him. I think he was only brought back as till the end of the season. I don't think he was never going to get offered a contract anyway. I think he was only brought back to to give us an extra striker. But like I said, the formation don't suit we was playing didn't suit Tristan Abrahams anyway. But no, he's got the move. He's got a decent move for himself. Good luck to the boy.
Not too much good luck on Saturday, as Kerran says. They do tend to, well, as every player does, don't they? They tend to do that little bit extra against their old teams. Carlisle, of course, who were top in January, top of the table, but lost a lot of games to they had to catch up with, and they fell away so badly that they finished 10th, only one above us. But, Steve, a good test all the way up there?
It's always a test at Carlisle, isn't it? We all know that from the many years we've been following the O's, and but we go out there with confidence, and that builds on a day, on a game-by-game basis. You get a string of results together, and you want that to continue for as long as possible.
I'm sure. Kerran, many supporters booked, as far as you know, for the long trip?
I'm not sure how many are actually booked on the coach, but I know a lot of people were asking me on Saturday what train I was on. So for everybody who wants to know, I'm on the 8:37. But yeah, it's going to be a long old day, but it's always a nice day out in Carlisle.
Excellent. The 8:37, Steve, from Euston, I assume, is yes. The Orient Express on Saturday. And then we can look briefly at next week, Harrogate, in the game that we should have played last night, Tuesday. And their COVID problems, of course, mean they've only had one game all season, which they won 3-2 at home to Rochdale. Last season, 4 points from them, and one of our best games, 3-0. That was a Danny Johnson hat-trick, wasn't it, Jacob?
Yeah, it was, and I think, like you said, they've had an unfortunate start to the season, but I suppose sort of shoe on the other foot, Orient have just got to take advantage of that and sort of capitalise on them while they're sort of not sort of raring to go. They've had a tough start and probably not in the best of shape or the best of conditions after that.
No, and as you said about Exeter, they won't have had much preparation. If you remember last season, we were put in the position of playing, it was home to Cheltenham, wasn't it, when we had to play virtually the day after the players had had about half a day's training, having all come back from COVID. So, looking forward to that one. It looks winnable to me at Harrogate, and if we've come away from Carlisle with a result as well, then we would be looking very well, because I think that's the only game next midweek, where everyone else having played this midweek. And again, the results quite good from our point of view. Forest Green, the only team, in fact, with to win their first three games. Bradford on 7 points, and Mansfield under Nigel Clough, with Danny Johnson up front, I think are probably going to be contenders as well. So they're the top three at the moment. Well, that's Orient present. We've got a couple of items now on Orient past, which link quite nicely together, in fact, because Peter Kitchen, who we'll hear from shortly, has always been a great supporter of the club's Somme Memorial Fund, commemorating the Orient players who died in World War One. And Steve Jenkins is, of course, the chairman of that committee and, as I said, was on the pitch at half-time on Saturday to talk about it. So, Steve, for those of us who are struggling to hear, give us the news again, crystal clear.
OK. for the past 7 years, we've been working on a project to commemorate the O's service in the Great War in this country. We've done so much in France, numerous Somme trips, over 2,000 people have been there over to visit the Orient War graves and the battlefields. And it isn't just from Orient, but it's from other clubs and friends of the O's as well and the greater family. So we really have done our bit to promote the story. And 7 years' work, our ambition was and has been fruitful that we've been successful in obtaining permission and we've attained the finance to have a memorial unveiled at the National Memorial Arboretum in Staffordshire. It's a tremendous achievement. We realise it is, not just for us, but for Leighton Orient as well, because this is the very first memorial to a football club at the Arboretum, which is a very well-known and prestigious place for people to visit. There's memorials for all backgrounds, you know, all walks of life, mainly military, but there's all types, civilian as well, with services and everything. So the unveiling is booked to take place on Sunday, the 24th of October. Coach transport is being arranged for O's fans. We've already got one coach over half full, and that's just from word of mouth on Saturday following the announcement, which is a result when I consider, well, I've heard that only one main stand and two edges heard me talk anyway. I was gutted that the PA was struggling again, like, you know, and I purposely spoke as slow as I could to try and hold on to everyone's attention, but to no avail. But we are extremely pleased, I'm very, very proud, and I'm sure everyone connected with Leighton Orient will understand what we're all about, what we've been doing over the years, and there's so much still to do for us as we remember the Orient lads of 1916.
Brilliant. Yes, I think, Karen, having paid my £10 for the Supporters Club on Saturday, I think I'd be very happy for my fund to be put towards an improvement of the public address system. Lee, you're normally in the South Stand, aren't you? Is it as bad there as other parts of the ground?
Strange thing was, I heard Steve perfectly.
Oh, right.
But no, normally it's terrible.
No, that's good. That's good.
In the north, I struggled to hear.
Yes, it's funny that of all the plans that have been mentioned as often quite long-term plans, I don't think we've heard much about the public address system. But maybe it's those of us at the back of the Just in Edinburgh who feel it particularly badly. But no, that's great news, Steve. I've actually been there to Staffordshire, and it is a very moving place, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yeah, and it's run by the Royal British League. As I say, you can't just get a memorial there overnight. Although if it was from a Premier League club, we shouldn't have put a memorial in there. It would have happened overnight. We had so many knockbacks from the organisation. They went and submitted several designs which they didn't like. So we turned around to them and said, OK, what do you want in the Arboretum to commemorate Clapton Orient and the lads? And they said, well, we love your memorial on the Somme. Can we have one like that, please? We said, OK, then. Why didn't you say that in the first place, or in so many words? You know, because it just drags on and on and on. So we have commissioned the stonemason, Keith Rackham, to reproduce our memorial that's currently or is installed in Fleur on the Somme. It won't be exactly the same, because we want something a bit different and unique, but it will be based on the same design. It'll have different wording on there, though. Obviously, as you would appreciate, it'll include the names of the three lads that lost their lives as part of the Somme badge, and some very important anecdotes and speeches from the special meeting held at Fulham Town Hall in December 1914. So if people are interested, please, it is on our Facebook page, as it is on the Supporters Club page and the 17th Pals Battalion Facebook page as well. And I sent the press release to Luke at the O's as well, and hopefully that'll be put up on the Orient website as well for supporters to contact myself or Malcolm McCarthy, either by our email address or come into the Supporters Club so we can put your name down and secure your place, and then further details will follow. But we're over the moon about it from a football point of view. What a great catchphrase that is, and we're looking forward certainly to doing our bit on the 24th of October, and thanks everyone for their support.
That's great, and I think Peter Kitchen, who we're about to hear from, has been out to France with you, hasn't he, and was actually involved with the unveiling of a memorial out there?
It was 10 years ago, yeah. 10 years ago, July the 10th, 2011, Peter and David Dodd unveiled the Old Somme Memorial. Again, the very first memorial on the Somme for an English Football League side. And we're so proud of that. And it's only a short distance from a little hamlet or village called Contamazon, where the memorial to the Macrae's Battalion is, which comprises of many Scottish clubs, particularly Heart Midlothian, Hibs, Raith Rovers, Dunfermline and Falkirk. And we are concentrating and building closer ties with these Scottish clubs. And there were strong rumours during the summer break, wasn't there, of a match possibly against Hearts, which didn't take place. But let's hope those rumours turn into fruition, that we can play that Scottish club and have some kind of a memorial match played to commemorate the lads that served in the Great War.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that, Steve. Let's hear then from the great man with Andy Keelson.
Well, as you all know, Orient have released their first list, if you like, their first inductees into the Hall of Fame, and they include the former manager Justin Edinburgh, former skipper Peter Allen, Sid Bishop, Stan Charlton, the legendary Alan Comfort on the wing, Laurie Cunningham, a great player too, and Tommy Johnson from the 50s, and this man on the end of the phone, the one and only Mr. Peter Kitchen. How are you, Peter?
I'm fine, Andy. How are you?
Very good, sir. Very good. And I was just saying to somebody else, it's very rare to see these things where a player is actually at two different clubs in their halls of fame, and that honour is bestowed upon yourself.
Yeah. It's always polls or these sort of choices are always great if they're made by the fans, because obviously it's the fans that ultimately judge how well you've done for a team. You know, and if you've been popular with a club and they feel they rate you very highly, you know. So yeah, it's a very nice accolade, and to actually have two of those is very, very rewarding.
Yeah, you had to cut yourself in half if Orient played Doncaster, weren't you? I mean, Rovers legend and Orient legend.
Well, I'm hoping Doncaster started really badly. And Orient have started really well, so I hope that one's not going one way and the other one's coming the other way.
Yeah, well, we've seen that happen before, haven't we, over the years? But, yeah, I mean, you're in there with some illustrious names, of course, and, I mean, your time there, I mean, a lot of supporters don't know, I mean, you missed out on a chance to join Tottenham, didn't you, through joining Orient?
Yeah, I mean really, coming to Orient, I mean, I'm not downgrading it, but... About 2 weeks before, I should have actually joined Ipswich, who was second to Liverpool in the first division. And I went there on a trial, and Bobby Robson tried to sign me, and he said, you know, how much did Doncaster want? I said to him, I think they're asking for 50,000. He said, I can't afford that. He said, because, not that it's not the money, but he said, I can't even promise you a game in the reserves. He said, we've got Weimar, Mariner in Woods in the first team, and we've got Alan Brazil, Eric Gates, David Geddes in the reserves, and Robin Turner, who's already on loan. So they put an offer in of about 28,000, and Doncaster turned it down. And I think for another 7,000, I would have gone to Ipswich. So you know, then Orient put the offer in, and I came down and agreed after three meetings with Brian Winston and George Petchie, I agreed to sign. And then when I got home, I got told by Stan Anderson, the manager, that Spurs had agreed to match the fee that Orient were going to pay. And I'd actually shaken hands with Brian Winston, and in those days, you know, your handshake was your word. It was, you know, it wasn't. We didn't have agents, and you know, I just went ahead and said, "No, it's too late now. I've agreed to join." Nowadays, you would never do that.
Well, I know that says a lot for your character, Peter, because, I mean, obviously, you could have. I mean, you could have turned around and said, well, look, I've done a bit for you before. But, you know, I've got a great chance here to join to join Spurs, you know, a side that's obviously full of well-known players, etc. And you could have legged it. But I think it says more for your character that you stayed there on a shake of a hand.
Well, I think it comes from the sort of community that I came from. You know, it's a mining community, and you know, there are very sort of strong traditions, shall I say, strong, you know, impositions on people that, you know, it was an old-fashioned sort of culture. So, you know, your word was your bond, that type of thing.
Spit in your palm time.
that's history now, you know. I mean, yeah. You know, I came to Orient, I did very, very well, and I love playing for the club. You know, we had a fantastic season. I think, you know, I thought we could have done a lot better had we been more ambitious, more adventurous, instead of struggling. But, you know, to score 29 goals in a season when you're playing in a side that's in the bottom five or six of the league for a lot of the time, and against you know, big opposition in the first division in the cup, you know, was a major achievement. And you know, we had some very good players, but as a team, we weren't as good as we should have been. But you know, that's sort of all in the past. You know, it's. It's a great little club, you know, and I still feel so fond about the club and want them to do well.
Well, you're obviously still a major part of it as far as the fans are concerned, as this has proved. I mean, if you had to pick a moment, though, Peter, in closing this, if you had to pick one moment in time of your time with Leighton Orient, what would that moment be?
I think it would be the goal against Middlesbrough, getting into the semi-final,
mm-hmm.
and I think the goal at Cardiff, keeping us in the Championship.
Which obviously at the time was, you know, people remember the cup run, but that goal at Cardiff was more important, really.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as I said, we ended up struggling in the league, and we should never have been in that position. You know, when you think that within sort of a few months of the end of that season, that two of our best players had been sold to first division sides. You know, I was sold 5 or 6 months later. Then Tony Grealish left. You know, they were good players, and with the right ambition and the right attitude, because Orient have had some great players over the years. They've just never all been together at the right time.
At the same time,
I think that's the key thing, you know. We've either had good players but not the right manager at the time, or we've had lots of very good players but never together.
It's the footballing equivalent of Eric Morecambe's famous line about playing the right notes, just not necessarily in the correct order.
Yeah.
So there you go. Hey, Peter, well done. It's a great accolade, and I'm really pleased for you, and hopefully we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, I'd like to get down to a game soon, but obviously I wasn't able to make it last week when Steve and the guys were announcing the memorial, but you know, that's another great thing that's happening with the club, a great point in the club's history, and we should celebrate that as well.
Indeed we will. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Okay, cheers, Andy.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There we are, the great Peter Kitchen, giving a name check there to Steve Jenkins. Steve, we better come to you first. As a long-standing O's supporter, are you happy with that list of our first eight Hall of Famers?
Oh, generally speaking, but where do we go? There's so many great players, as Peter said, so many great players in our long, wonderful history. So I've got my own favourites, but I don't know if you want me to announce now. I'll wait till everybody else gives you their thoughts.
Well, I was expecting, to be honest, for you to put forward the name of Richard McFadden.
You knew I was going to say that. You absolutely knew I was going to say that. I was just trying to milk it for you there, Steve.
How many goals for the Orient?
He scored 66 goals and 137 appearances, and he was top scorer in the four seasons he was with the club. And if he hadn't have given his life on the Somme, he would have been untouchable regarding goal scoring. In fact, he was due to play for Twinnie's first Scottish cap, would you believe, just prior to war commencing, and that was curtailed. He scored the winning goal for the Football League against the England full squad at Craven Cottage, and that secured his call-up to the Scottish squad. So, very, very unfortunate in more than one way, Richard, but what a fantastic player. And he would have caused some problems in the current day and age as well.
Yeah, so we tend to, I suppose, to go for people of our own period as well. I'm happy to say my early days well represented there from Tommy Johnston onwards. Kerrin, I think the supporters are going to get the chance to vote, aren't they, for two more out of the 11, and there's one which is sort of being held over.
Yeah, so I hear. So, get your thinking caps on, everybody, and start thinking about who your favourite is.
Anybody else? Lee, Jacob, anyone you're going to propose?
I'd propose Matt Lockwood. Personally.
Matt Lockwood, yes, I'd seen his name mentioned. I think there'd be a good bit of support for that, wouldn't there?
Hope so.
Jacob, Lee?
I think Matt Lockwood's a good shout. I like John Mackie as well, myself, absolute warrior on the pitch. Captain the side to automatic promotion. Someone like him would be a good shout, and I suppose everyone will, of course, want Dean Cox as well, won't they?
Yes, that would be a recent favourite. Lee, anybody else to drop in?
From my early days, Stonewall, John Jackson.
Oh, yes.
From the later days, 2014, I'm going to go a bit left fielder. I don't think he's going to get as much credit as he deserves. Kevin Lisby.
Good one. Very good one. Yeah, so the managers is a difficult one as well. I don't know whether they've chosen Justin. I don't know whether the idea is there should only be one manager or not, but particularly. But if you think of people like Johnny Carey, who got us into the first division, Frank Clark, Jimmy Bloomfield, who also won promotions for us, as did Alex Stock. So difficult as well to keep a historical perspective, which is why it's good that Steve mentioned Richard McFadden, because all those names so far date back to the 1950s at the earliest. So a good bit of Orient history before that, with people like our first England international, John Townrow, in the 1920s, and Arthur Wood, who was the goalkeeper for almost 10 years at that time, a very successful period for the club. So there we are, good talking points from the Hall of Fame, and well done for the club for getting it organised. It's actually going to be housed in the Legends Lounge in the Justin Edinburgh stand. Now, just time for this before we go. I love the latest edition of Pandemonium fanzine, which has got an interesting list. In this case, a Where Are They Now of former Orient players. It's not complete. They've only got down to the letter L so far. But here's a very quick quiz for you guys in the studio and at home. Where are these players now? Okay. James Alabi.
Bromley.
Marvin Bartley.
Blackpool.
No, he's up in Scotland somewhere, isn't he?
Scotland.
Inverness.
Assistant manager of?
Cali Thistle.
Livingston. Jordan Bowery. Oh.
Mansfield,
very good. Somebody who we nearly saw recently, Jake Caprice.
Exeter.
Yeah. Exeter, good. Steve Castle is the manager of?
Weston.
Very good. So I think Lee's going to win this one. George Ellacobe.
Maidstone United.
Here's a good one. Richard Garcia is manager of?
Oh, he's in Australia.
Perth.
Yes.
Think of a big
Australian city. Perth Glory, very good. Yes, bonus point for that one. And a couple more. Harry Kane, I think we know him unless he's moved overnight. Yeah. Liam Kelly.
Oh, I see. Plymouth.
Coventry City.
Yeah.
And good old Charlie Lee.
Billericay,
well done. I think Lee has just pipped Kerrin. Well done, everybody. And that is it, full time. Thanks to Lee Boyce. Thanks to Kerrin, don't call me Karen Harrison, Steve Jenkins and Jacob Ransom. Thanks to Andy Gilson, the producer, and to all of you for listening, of course. We'll do it all again next week, hopefully when we're still full of positivity after the games against Carlisle on Saturday and then Harrogate next Tuesday back at Brisbane Road.
This ain't up to pump, it's Brisbane Road. It ain't White Hart Lane, that's the wrong postcode. It ain't Stamford Bridge, this is E10. And you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. There's flats in every corner of the ground. You can get your kids in just £5. Get an Orient here, it's only a quid. But there ain't no lids, cos it's an up-to-pump Brisbane Road. It ain't White Hart Lane, that's a wrong postcode. It ain't Stamford Bridge, this is E10. And you go, we're rocking all over the world again. We had an FA Cup 78. We had John Sitter, that is most irate. We were club. We had Chris Tate's hair. I remember the moment the Leeds field scored. I remember it's done on the message board. I remember the pleasure. I remember the pain. And I want to hear rocking all over the world again. This ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road. It ain't White Hart Lane, that's a wrong postcode. It ain't Stamford Bridge, this is E10. And you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. This is St. Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road. It ain't White Hart Lane, that's a wrong postcode. It ain't Stamford Bridge, this is E10. And you're gonna hear rocking all over the world. Till the end, if I thought you'd score, but I haven't seen a goal in God knows when. And I wanna hear rocking all over the world again. Cos this ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road. It ain't White Hart Lane, that's a wrong postcode. It ain't Stamford Bridge, this is E10. And you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. Cos this ain't it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge.
is eating, and you go with.